We are back here on Wrestling Observer Radio. Brian Alvarez here and Dave Meltzer on Monday night, November 17th, 2008, here at figure4online.com. And it's been a very long weekend. And Dave, how you holding up?
I'm okay. You know, it's I'm so far behind on watching tapes. I'm trying to catch up, and it just never happens.
That sucks. A lot of Japan?
Yeah, I'm behind on that too.
Oh, who else sends you tapes?
Florida, I'm trying to sit down and watch the ROH pay-per-view, and I just keep getting interrupted.
Oops. Well, sorry about that.
No. I mean, I'm trying to think of other stuff. I watched some of SmackDown. I watched the Undertaker match on SmackDown, so that was really good.
Yeah, that actually was really good.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
By far the best thing on the show.
Yeah. Well, it's the only thing I've watched so far.
Yeah.
I'll watch the rest of it later.
Yeah. Now, we're going to talk about Raw.
I'm just like wasting so much time because I swear, like, the internet the last 2 days has been, like, so amusing. It's like I can't put it down because the levels of stupidity, like, are incredible.
Have you ever noticed like, it's always, like, days that you're working on the newsletter that you end up all over the internet reading stuff?
Well, maybe because it's coming off the weekend, but it's rarely like this. I mean, this is like you have to admit, like ever since Brock and Lesnar won, it's been incredible.
It's been entertaining.
Oh, it's been tremendous. That's why I keep saying. I mean, it's like people are like so. I mean, it's like it's so unfair. I mean, they shouldn't allow a guy that big to fight.
It's ridiculous that there should be this man that's allowed to fight at 265 in the 265 pound weight division. Ridiculous.
I mean, the thing that is so amazing to me is that if you had changed roles and it was Shane Carwin and he was the one who got the shot at Couture, aside from the fact that it would have done, you know, 1/4 of the business, and he would have knocked out Randy Couture and won, that nobody would be complaining and it'd be saying like, you know, freaking engineer just beat Randy Couture. I mean, like, does that mean that like all the engineers should be like are going to take over?
You know what I mean?
We should ban engineers because it ruins the sport.
You think the engineers, the main engineer website, would put it over, but then talk about how the show ended 20-40 minutes early?
Well, I obviously WWE realized that they made a boo boo on that one and took that down pretty quick. But
they did. Yeah.
I think that, you know, obviously there was some bitterness there. You know, I mean, when you're, you know. I think that they were kind of twisted because obviously they took the ads, you know, the website took the ads, so they were happy to take their money, which actually, you know, there were a lot, you know, WWE, it's definitely been, ever since February, you know, a subject for debate on, you know, why are we helping these people who we're in competition with? And, you know, I think that may have been their way of just going like, we're not doing it anymore, that's it. And then realize that they came off looking real bad by doing that. So.
Well, I think part of it is they have to pretend like this is not competition. Like, publicly, I don't think they're going to be going out of their way talking about they're going head-to-head with UFC.
Yeah.
It's something that is privately tracked, much
well,
like TNA.
They don't admit it if you really look at it. Like, they say everything's competition, but they won't say anything's competition. You know,
sure.
TNA's not competition. You know, our competition is, you know, movies and TV and everything. And so, you know, they're a part of everything, so everything's competition and nothing's competition to them.
Yeah,
you know, because if you don't say anything is competition, then you're not getting beat by anybody.
Exactly, and they can't. I mean, they can't come out and say UFC is competition because then people are going to start looking at the buy rates and they will be embarrassed.
Yeah.
So that was I did like how they in some ways try to take credit in some small way for Brock's win. All of the heartache and the pitfalls and such that he went through in WWE helped him on his road to becoming champion.
They should, because if Brock hadn't have hated WWE so much, he'd still be in pro wrestling and this never would have happened.
That's true.
So they do deserve some credit in a roundabout way.
They should have explained it just like that. We drove him from this business. And then Impact.
We drove him out.
We drove him out, and now look at what he's attained. We should be thanked for this.
Yeah. You know, the one thing is, I mean, I have gotten, you know, I mean, I've gotten some crazy emails in the last couple of days, but
you and Coughlin both.
A few of them, but I mean, the ones that are the most amusing are the wrestling fans that wanted him to flop so bad. I mean, there was something about he left us and he was gonna go into fighting and we were gonna laugh because those real fighters were gonna beat him up, and then the real fighters didn't really beat him up.
They should be proud.
I don't know if they should be proud, but. I mean, it's just what it is.
Well, a man from their sport went in and won.
Yeah, but he left their sport. He left. He left on his own terms.
He did.
Not
well.
Only did he leave, but you know, he signed the first non-compete clause in the history of mankind, and he didn't live up to it, and it went to court, and he still won.
And he won, yeah.
Even though he signed that away. It's an amazing story.
And then TNA, of course, when congratulating him, had to immediately bring up that Kurt Angle, will he be doing MMA?
Well, I mean, wouldn't you think that's what they should do, though?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm sick of hearing about Kurt Angle potentially doing MMA.
Well, Kurt's never going to do MMA. We already know that.
Yeah.
But he's going to talk about it forever. I mean, he's probably going to have a press conference on Wednesday. You know?
Didn't we hear that 2 weeks ago, that he was going to have a press conference on Wednesday?
Well, whenever he's on like a big show, he's about to make that announcement any minute now.
Let's talk a little bit about Raw tonight, since it was, in fact, the go-home show for Survivor Series. And there was some good, there was some bad. The main event did absolutely nothing for me. CM Punk lost again. It appears that they're going to probably set him up for an Intercontinental title run over William Regal, but who even knows at this point?
William Regal did the distracting. I guess that's what it's really interesting that the way they positioned William Regal, you know, in kind of like the modern-day Bret Hart role, where he's going to be the babyface in England and a heel everywhere else because he's, you know, talks about how great England is compared to the United States.
That's right, yeah. So I didn't really, main event didn't really do anything for me, and I thought the match was kind of boring as well, and I don't know. I don't really like the lumberjack deal. It kind of tracks from the match for me.
A lot. Yeah. I think that was, they just had everybody there, and I guess they just wanted to get everyone on TV.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was funny because at the very beginning, you know, like, we're looking at all these guys, right, and we're kind of like, no, who's that?
I was just laughing because it was.
I mean, like Deuce was back, and Paul Burchill was back, and just all these guys that you just never see that you basically almost forget are even still with the company.
You know, years back we used to do all these shows in the Temple Theater, and we'd have battle royals, and Buddy Wayne would always like hide in a closet whenever it was time for like the lumberjack match or the battle royal, because he just thought only the geeks are surrounding the ring. And to this day, I look out here at some of these lumberjack matches, and I see like Shawn Michaels standing there next to Paul Burchill or whoever, and I just think, what in the hell are you doing out here?
Everyone was out there. JBL was out there.
They were out there, but I don't know.
Everybody was there. Yeah.
Yeah. It just kind of is weird because then, you know, you had the thing earlier in the night where, you know, Michaels got super kicked and pinned, and then he's out there and Nitro's out there or Morrison, and they don't care. They're just doing the lumberjack match, and to me it's just kind of like, well, that's kind of dumb. Shouldn't he be angry? Shouldn't he be upset? Shouldn't he be going after him or vice versa? But, no, nothing happens. They're just lumberjacks.
Yeah, that's a pretty logical reason to keep him away, isn't it? Plus, I think that it trivializes them as stars when they're just bit players.
You put the stars out there with geeks, and all of a sudden the stars, they're like the geeks. It's not like the geeks are all of a sudden looking like stars because they're out there with Shawn Michaels.
Okay, well, I thought the idea was to give the geeks a rub and make them stars.
But... well, it's supposed to be the idea. Now, on that note...
I don't even know if they even thought... I think they just said, we're going to have a lumberjack match with 30 lumberjacks.
Yippee.
And, you know, I mean, when you got to have everyone out there then.
Not to mention, you also have all these guys like Michaels and JBL and such that don't even get their entrance. They're just surrounding the ring, which trivializes it even more.
Yeah. Well, they got it earlier in the show.
Yeah. I did think that the...
JBL's lost so much weight.
He really has. He's starting to disappear. I thought that Michaels and Ray against Miz and Morrison... The finish in particular, I thought was just so awesome.
I thought it was a really good match. It was fun. It was just a fun match.
It was a fun match, and I watched that finish like 30 times, and it got better every time. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was really well timed, and just a great finish.
Yeah, they rehabbed Miz and Morrison. Michaels got pinned with his own move, and the celebration that Morrison threw after he'd pinned Shawn Michaels with a super kick was fabulous. I thought the whole thing was just great.
Yeah.
What else do we have on the show today? Too much Stephanie. I don't know if it's just me, but...
It wasn't enough that it bothered me yet. I mean, if it goes like this every week, yeah. But that beginning was weird.
You know,
I just thought it was kind of strange. It kind of made, I don't know, it kind of made like the wrestlers all like children. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Raise your hand. Can I speak to the principal? You know?
And then it was like, she goes, okay, everybody, this is your chance to voice your concerns about the show. And of course, Randy Orton's first question is, why is John Cena getting a title shot? And I thought, that is a great question. And then she had a pretty bullshit excuse, and as it went we've
already signed it. Why doesn't she just give the Dana White excuse? Because he's going to draw more pay-per-views than you.
Should have. But all the heels had these...
That actually would have been amusing.
All these heels had these good questions, like Santino going, can I get a rematch? And she just says, no. And it was like...
You got two at the house shows. It's like, since when the hell has house shows ever counted? That's a new one.
Oh, God. I just was like...
No, Santino Marella's rap was phenomenal.
It was.
Oh, I loved that. Santino Marella was so entertaining.
I don't know if he's going to be turning babyface or what, but he's doing his rap, and, like, Kelly is laughing, and Candice is dancing to it, and I thought, what's going on here?
I think he was just so funny, because I couldn't even stop laughing watching it. So, it's funny, but, you know, they should have at least let the announcers laugh at that, because it was funny. They've been laughing at all this unfunny stuff for weeks.
Yeah. Maybe they were told, don't laugh this time, and it hurt it.
Don't laugh. Can you imagine?
No more laughing.
Oh, God, those poor announcers.
Yeah. Then we had, actually, the other thing with Stephanie is it kind of reminded me of the TNA deal, where I think she's supposed to be a babyface, but she is so utterly hateable.
I didn't think she was supposed to be a babyface. Maybe she is.
Well, she turned down all the heels and
so.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's
I thought
a mystery.
It was interesting when JBL asked where Vince was. We never got a straight answer on that one.
Every heel asked a great question. Then we had the women's match, which they're going to have an 8-woman Survivor Series match at the pay-per-view,
I think
sounds...
10.
Oh, God, that sounds horrifying.
I thought it was 10. Let me see. I'm almost positive it's 10.
I think it's 5-on-5, yeah.
It's five from SmackDown and 5 from Raw.
Yeah, so that sounds like it'll be no good.
What's so weird is when they were explaining it, Jerry Lawler was going like, you know, it could be 4-to-1, and I'm thinking like, you know what I mean, 4-on-1? And you know what? It's like, it could be 5-on-1, too. Why do you say 4-on-1?
I don't know.
I think he said 4-on-1 the first time, and then he
got yelled at.
You know. He probably got yelled at, but it was just sort of like, well, if you change it, then you're going to look even dumber, so they just kind of let it ride.
We had Big Dave and Manu in Manu's first big singles match here on the show, and he looked pretty good, and you know, they gave him heat on Batista for a while before he got pinned, so he wasn't buried or anything like that. He was beaten, but I think that he had a better showing for himself than I think a lot of people expected.
I thought he did well for himself.
Yeah.
You know, and they, you know, it wasn't like a home run or anything, but you know how, like, you could be put in that position to fail, and he didn't fail.
And the people were pretty much into it.
Yeah, they were. They were.
So that's it's a big credit to him for that. And that led to, I guess, we had Orton on the ramp watching. They cut a promo on each other, and Dave basically said, you need to stop worrying about Cena's comeback and worry about me. And then later we had Orton saying he was embarrassed to have Cody on his team on Sunday, and then he'd show Cody how a man does the job in a lumberjack match. And that ended up being...
I got a question. Did Cody back down from Batista after the match at some point?
I
didn't see that, but they were referencing it in the interview. Like, you know, how you backed down, and then he said, like, well, you didn't even come to the ring either type of a thing.
Yeah, I missed it if it happened. So
yeah, I'm going to have to rewatch that. See if, like, something happened there. Cause, like, they were talking about that. It's like, you know, I was, like, reading stuff. You know, it was enthralling me so much at certain points in the show, which isn't good. you know, but I missed that, if it happened. Maybe they pre-taped it and it was supposed to happen and they changed their mind. I don't know.
Maybe.
They usually wouldn't do that, though.
And then we had the Jay Strongbow appearance for 2 seconds.
What was that?
I have no earthly idea.
I was watching that and I was like, what? What is that? I mean, he's probably been backstage at 100 shows.
Well, today was the day he was going to say hello to the crowd. Evan Bourne and Mike Knox are apparently going to be starting a feud, which sounds... I don't know what it sounds like, actually. I like Mike Knox enough that I'm going to give it a chance, but he tripped him and then threw Kofi face first into something, which looked like it sucks. And big bully.
Yeah.
We had Sean and Ray and
Dolph. He smashed Evan Bourne's ankle with his own crutches.
That's right. He hit him with his own crutches. So I guess Evan doesn't need surgery. He's going to be out for a while, but at least they're keeping him alive.
Not that long. I mean, in the sense of, you know, only maybe two more months.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. So it's not really all that long.
No, that was good.
They even talked on the show about Royal Rumble. Hopefully he'll be back for Royal Rumble.
And they're keeping him on TV, so they haven't given up on him, so that's good.
Yeah.
And then we had Sean Ray and Dolph Ziggler in a segment I didn't understand, but I guess it was what it was.
It was weirdly amusing, though.
It was just strange.
Yeah.
I don't know. We had the CM Punk promo where he talked about Orton had taken away his miracle year and he was going to get his revenge tonight, which he did not get.
Too bad. That wasn't good.
No. And
wasn't a bad promo, though.
That leads us to Crime Time and Kane and JBL, which also was not, in fact, good. And thankfully it was fairly short. And you know what else? You know what else kind of... It didn't really make me mad. It made me mad initially until it went 1 minute, but Matt Hardy working his third match on the show with a bad knee.
Third?
He had a dark match.
Right, you're right, because he did his dark match, which was totally unnecessary.
Sure.
And then he did the match on SmackDown earlier. You're right, it was his third match on the show, and he had no business. He shouldn't even be working, period.
No, he could not even move.
Yeah, and the one... because they protected him. I mean, it was a one-minute match and double count out. They just got it over with. But when he got thrown out of the ring, he hurt his knee. He re-injured his knee.
Jesus.
And it was like it was just sad reading, you know, Matt Hardy talk about his injury.
Yeah.
And just it was just so sad because it's like, you know, he should just take time off.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world. I mean, it's not like he's going to lose his spot. And they should be encouraging it. You know, why? You know, I mean, I know, like, if you're, you know, I mean, everyone works hurt, and that's cool. But, you know, when your surgically repaired knee is hyperextended and ligaments are torn and all this, even if you want to come back early, take 2 weeks off. I mean, he worked every single day. He worked three times at the TV the day after he hurt himself. He worked three times at the next TV. Or maybe two times. No, maybe it was two times. But and then it was three. Then he worked every single night. Then he flew from, where were they last night? I think somewhere in Germany to Atlanta, which is probably not the easiest flight. And, you know, then he works three times today on a bad knee. And he could have just been given the week off to rest and, you know, just been, you know, you can do the 10-man in Survivor Series. I understand not missing a pay-per-view. But, I mean, like, would the show have been, like, really bad if Matt Hardy didn't work with Regal? And if Matt Hardy didn't do a dark match, obviously they didn't need to do it in the first place. I don't know. We'll see tomorrow night on ECW how much... they protected him. Because, I mean, I can sort of see working the trios match if, you know, they cover for him and he's not in much. But you know, he worked two
matches. He didn't need the dark match.
Although they were both short, but it was just unnecessary.
Yeah, if you're going to do a minute with Regal, why do it?
That's what I was thinking watching it. You know, and of course I thought it even more when he hurt himself. But just when he came out and the way he just moved when he was coming out, I was just like, God, can't you give him the night off?
And the only other thing on the show was the go-home show for Chris, or the go-home promo for Chris Jericho in the Cena match, and I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was good. I also, you know, have liked every Cena video and liked this one, and then liked Jericho coming back, and I like the way they doctored the footage that made it look like he beat Rock with a rock bottom and Austin with a stunner on that night.
It was funny, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty cool, and then just talking about everything. But yeah, he did. It's a great promo.
You know what I liked about it is, I hate to make the comparison to TNA, but
oh my God, I can't believe you're gonna say this. Go ahead. I already know what you're gonna say.
Well, we'll see. Actually, I'll bet you don't, but it's probably similar to what you're thinking.
Okay.
You remember when Sting and AJ were doing their promo, and Sting is talking about AJ's dad and kicking him out of the house and all of his other bullshit?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all stuff that we never saw, and there's no frame. We just don't know what the hell he's talking about.
No, because we've never had a AJ profile bringing all of this stuff
never.
Up.
Never. But on right. this show... Jericho could have just come out there and cut a promo about past history that probably a lot of these little kids have never even heard about, and maybe some people watching maybe have got foggy memories or whatever. They just took all the footage, and they showed you the footage as he talked about it, and it helped tell the story. And that made it great!
Yeah. Actually, I had like a completely different version of that one.
Which was that?
Okay. When I'm watching that, it was like, he is doing a great heel promo... But he's getting himself over as a you know really big star, and look at all the things he's done.
Yeah.
While at the same time, he's not burying his opponent. He's making his opponent at the same time. I'm just better than him, but he's also a big star. And I was thinking, That's exactly not what TNA is doing.
That's also true. This was like an effective promo where Jericho, I mean, sometimes this is kind of another thing that it's not a TNA thing. It's not a WWE thing. It's just every now and then you just see people that don't know what they're doing do this, which is the champion just comes out and he lies and you know he's full of shit and you listen to it and you just, you know, it's like, I don't take this. This guy doesn't seem like a threat. This guy doesn't seem like he's any good. You know, it's not an effective heel. Whereas with this promo, it was like Jericho came out there and he talked about how great he was and he had all his footage and it was like, he's right. He's great. But so is this other guy. So we're going to see two great guys fighting and one of them's going to win.
Yeah, and it'll probably be a great match too.
And it probably will. Well, I hope. You know, Cena's, you know, coming back, bad neck.
Cena, I know Cena's been out for a long time and
could be gun shy.
He won't be.
Well, that's probably true. After all the videos that we've seen of him.
You know, Cena's pretty predictable in some ways. I mean, he's just like, you know, he's ain't going to be gun shy.
Yeah.
He might have bad timing. He might be clumsy, but gun shy he won't be.
Yeah, that's probably true. So I guess some of the other news for today is the big debut of Ric Flair is off.
Yeah.
And why? We don't know. They said health issues.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll try to find out tomorrow.
It's a rather wacky excuse for a fake fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like he got the flu before an MMA match.
You still fight with the flu, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So that's kind of a strange one. But so I guess that's off. And I guess what other news do we have today? Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban is the Securities and Exchange Commission is suing him for insider trading.
Bad times for Mark Cuban.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't affect his TV station.
Well, I don't know exactly how the whole thing works, but when I looked at how much money he avoided losing with his insider trading, it was like under $1 million, and I don't know how much over the amount of money you avoided losing they can fine you. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see them fining him like $100 million because
No, they can't find him like that.
Yeah, so I can't see him losing a lot off of this. I expect a fine, but I don't even know how hefty a fine when you're Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
So then we had the ECW spoilers for tomorrow night. As noted, the Matt Hardy had to work 3 times. Sucks to be him. But
Sterling Jack Gabriel debuts on ECW tomorrow night.
And that's
Wellington from
Steve Wellington, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. I know it's so sad that the two guys in Florida Championship Wrestling with the best physiques were Dolph Ziggler and Sterling Jack Gabriel, and they're the two that get called up.
Shocking.
I know it's shocking, but it's just, I don't know. You know, I mean Steve Wellington, you know, have you seen him lately?
I haven't seen him lately, but I saw plenty of him in Ohio Valley.
Yeah, well, he looks exactly the same.
Hmm, how about that?
Yeah, looks exactly the same. He's just got good genetics or something. I
mean, big jacked
up
guy.
I mean, he just looks, you know. Some people have it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I you know, put it this way. I don't believe for a second that they're going to let him fly. You know what I mean? It's not like it's, you know. They may let people fly, but they ain't letting somebody in developmental fly.
And well,
so, I mean, either he's doing something that no one knows, which I doubt, considering how much money he's probably making. So he probably just has really good genetics, and I'm sure trains his ass off and eats well.
We learn with Dolph Ziggler.
I'm not being sarcastic either.
No, we learn with Dolph Ziggler
well, I don't want to say anything because, you know, time will tell on this one, but
Dolph Ziggler did look largely the same.
Yeah, he did.
Maybe a little smaller.
He was a little smaller, slightly less cut.
Yeah,
but you know, the other one is just, he's got a good frame.
Does have a good frame, yeah.
You know, but
I know a lot of guys with a good frame, though, and they don't look like that.
I agree with you. But, you know, how many of them, you know, he also just failed a test.
One would think you'd have to be pretty damn stupid to fail twice in a row like that.
Yes, I can't imagine that. But hey, you know, there have been some stupid wrestlers.
There have been some dumb wrestlers. That is in fact true.
But probably, I would think, I would just think that he's not going to be failing another test.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
So we've got Steve Lewington coming up. What's his gimmick again? I already forgot his name.
Sterling Jack Gabriel.
Sterling Jack Gabriel.
Yeah. They've given all those developmental guys new names because I was watching Floor Championship today, and it's like,
how can we have two Jacks in ECW?
Everyone's got these hokey 80s names. It's just like, it's like we're back to like that, you know, a bunch of Brutus the Barber beefcakes.
How are we getting away with two Jacks on ECW?
Oh, boy. They may have to change his name, huh?
How could they not? I thought that, and I didn't even think that hard. Jack Swagger and Sterling Jack? How did that fly?
I don't know. We'll have to watch the show. Maybe he's going to have a new name.
That could be. Happened with Evan Bourne got renamed the next week.
Yeah.
So I guess it's possible.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think there's not a lot of thinking going on. Is it just me?
Yeah, especially with those new names in Florida Championship Wrestling. I mean, there was one name, something Oakley. I forgot already. I just thought it was like Carson Oakley. I just thought that was the most corny name in the world. And the thing is, they have it's like they've now got this pattern of look again of their guys. Like every baby face is like, you know, I would say 6'2". Good frame, kind of athletic. You know, I mean, they're not roided up, but they're, you know, good physiques. Same kind of, you know, clean-cut hair. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Some of them have longer hair, though. I think that the hair code has definitely changed because there's a lot of long-haired guys in FCW as compared to, you know.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's changed.
If you can have short hair, you got to have a pompadour like Wayne Newton.
Oh, God.
That's what I've decided. All these plain haircuts just don't work. If you can have short hair, it should look like Wayne's, because he's got short hair, but you just look at him and you know he's a star.
Yes, Wayne Newton, you just look at him and he's a star. There's no question.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew that from the minute he came on stage, you just looked at him and you go, this man is a star.
It was, and even afterwards, it was just, exuded.
Oh, yeah. He was never, he never, in front of the public, was not a star.
Never. Not for a single moment.
No.
So many lessons to be learned here.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I see also that Alicia Fox, now, does she make television?
Oh, you know, I hadn't looked at it. So she's going to be on ECW?
It says ECW taping started, Miz and Morrison interview, and then we have DJ Gabriel with Alicia Fox.
Oh, so I guess that she's going to be his manager.
How about that? I wonder if they'll reveal she's the wedding planner or if it'll just go over everyone's head.
I would think they should.
Maybe he's getting married. How do you explain that she went from a wedding planner to a manager who now wrestles?
I just hope she doesn't wrestle. She's just really uncoordinated in the ring, so she shouldn't be wrestling.
Maybe they should do it like the real-life Romeo Roselli story, where they talk about she was a wedding planner, and then she just decided to go to Florida Championship Wrestling and make a career out of it.
Okay.
Remember he worked for WWE? He worked in the office.
Yeah, you know, he worked in arena bookings.
That's right,
under
yeah.
Ed Cohen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a story
there.
And then he quit his
secure job too because he wanted to be a wrestler.
Yeah. I also like this, the Jack Swagger Amateur Challenge.
Oh, yeah, with Tommy Dreamer.
Dreamer got mad and kicked and attacked him. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't see that one coming.
No. So.
It leads to an Extreme Rules match. Next week.
Maybe you don't watch Hogan's Championship Wrestling or Hogan's Celebrity
Wrestling.
I didn't
see Hogan's Championship Wrestling this week, no.
But this week, guess what's coming up this week?
Tell me.
They are going to teach the celebrities how to do hardcore.
Oh, good God.
Can you believe that?
Maybe I need to watch that.
That's one you're going to have to watch.
Yeah, I think
even heard of such a thing, learning hardcore?
Well, you know, I can just imagine, like, oh, God.
And especially Knobs, because Matt was at a hardcore match and he fell off the building and was never seen again.
Yeah.
He should know the dangers of this.
Yeah.
Now let's see what else we've got. I think that's pretty much all the news. So I guess we can start going to some of the questions right here. And I'll let you start while I try and load some up here.
Okay. We should actually have a contest on someone. Okay, I want this because I'm being so entertained.
All right.
So if you're listening, I want a contest. We should have a contest with
You get a picture of Dave with Wayne Newton. Wallet sized.
No. No, but to come up with the absolute funniest thing on one of these MMA boards, because these things I can't keep up with them, because it's like every time, like if I go back a couple hours later, there's like 100 more. It's the greatest thing in the world.
We do have a thread in our MMA section, but I don't think it's nearly comprehensive enough.
No, but the thing is, it's like Nogueira is the nicest guy in the world, and obviously Brock Lesnar isn't the nicest guy in the world. But I would never say this for any other reason, but now I actually want Brock Lesnar to beat him just for my own entertainment.
That's right.
This stuff is incredible. And they're all sitting there, wait until Nogueira gets him. He'll submit him in the first round. And I'm thinking, like, you people are like the biggest pro wrestling, you know, believers of the 70s.
Marks.
You know, it's like, wait until Dusty gets Oxbaker.
Exactly.
that big bully.
And you know what's going to be really funny, too, is Frank Mir submitted Brock, obviously, with a knee bar.
Yeah.
And by the time Lesnar and either Nogueira or Mir, most likely Nogueira, but either way, by the time that fight rolls around, it's going to be almost a year of extra training since Brock submitted to that knee bar.
Over a year. They're not fighting until March or April at the earliest.
Yeah, so...
You know, and that's provided that, you know, whoever wins, you know, the Mir Nogueira fight doesn't get hurt, and that Brock doesn't get hurt, and, you know, I mean, those things, you know, they can be delayed.
Now, but I'm never going to sit here and say that neither man would never be able to catch Brock Lesnar, but every day that goes by, he's going to be harder to catch.
Absolutely.
And I think anybody that thinks that this is a guarantee that Nogueira is going to tap Brock Lesnar in the first round...
Well, it's going to be hard for him to tap him if Brock doesn't want to go to the ground.
Well, there's that, too.
Because, I mean, what's he going to do, take him down?
If Brock learns some more stand-up?
If Brock is out there, you know, Brock and Nogueira in a stand-up is real interesting because Nogueira's got, you know, he's got good footwork.
And a hard head.
He's got good hands. Well, Sylvia knocked him down. Heath Herring knocked him down. His reaction time has slowed greatly. He doesn't have the head movement that Randy has. And if Brock hits him, he'll go down. Now, he may not get knocked out because no one's knocked him out, but the thing with you know what, I mean, could happen is he could go down and Brock will jump down and start pounding on him, and actually he may catch Brock because you know what I mean, just by being so
yeah,
you know,
because if he does go down, I mean, Brock is going to go down after him, so that's how they could end up on the ground.
Yeah at the same time though, his recovery time against Sylvia was not all that strong. You know, when Sylvia hit him. But, I mean, he did, you know, the minute it went to the ground, you know, he did submit Sylvia. And Sylvia's had a lot more, you know, training in avoiding submissions than Brock. Now, granted, Brock's the better natural athlete of the two. But, I mean, Sylvia trained for years and years, and Nogueira got him, like, immediately when they were on the ground. So, you know, Nogueira, as far as a style matchup, it's a different kind of matchup than Couture. You know, I mean, Couture had a chance, you know, actually a good chance to win. In fact, I believe that if Couture and Lesnar, you know, this, you know, were to fight 10 times now, not a year from now. A year from now, Brock would beat him 9 out of 10. But right now, 10 times, I think Couture would win several of those fights. Just because I just thought he did such a great job with you know, he couldn't neutralize his wrestling, but he made it less effective. Whereas Nogueira, you know, I mean, he's not going to stop Brock's wrestling at all. There's no way.
And again, every day that goes by, Brock is going to get a little more scary, and
yeah, but you know, he's going to be fighting scary guys. I don't see Brock as being like this unbelievably great fighter, even though he does have great potential, to where he's going to like win like six fights in a row and run through the division. I mean, there's going to be
not right now, no, but who's to say what's going to happen 3 years down the road?
Yeah, but let's say 3 years down the road, there's going to be a bunch of Brock Lesnars coming into this sport. You know, I mean, you're going to have, you know, whether it's, you know, Dremiel Byers or Steve Mocco or Cole Conrad. I mean, all of these guys are talking about getting in. Cain Velasquez, you know, I mean, it's you know, there's going to be wrestlers that are just as good as Brock Lesnar, that are just as big as Brock Lesnar. They're not going to be, you know, as quick, but they're going to be younger. So, you know, it's what the heavyweight division is going to turn into. I mean, he's the, you know, whether he's, you know, has a long title reign or a short title reign, the fact is I believe that we're going to be having a lot of big wrestlers in that heavyweight division. The only thing is, like, they need to add a new weight class. It's like, because the size difference was too much. You know, I mean, the reason the size difference was too much was because Randy won't fight light heavyweight. Randy is a natural light heavyweight.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he just won the heavyweight title because, you know, he knew how to beat Tim Sylvia.
And now I got to add one thing though here, which is kind of a plays into something else that I wanted to talk about, but Fedor is 10 pounds heavier than Randy.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody complaining that there should be another weight class.
Oh, because he's 10 pounds heavier than Randy?
Because he's only 230. Would it be fair if this man at 230 were facing this 285-pound Brock Lesnar? Would that be fair? People wouldn't complain about that.
Nobody complained about when he fought Mark Hunt or when he fought Zulu.
Sure. So why are people bitching about Randy?
Or 360 or something. That guy was huge.
Yeah.
But he was also Zulu.
There's that as well.
he had the slowest reaction time of any fighter except for Aki Bono.
Yeah.
And Fedor, you know, Fedor almost, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, I mean, they never got around to Fedor and Aki Bono, but I could have seen that one happening. It's a natural matchup for Japan.
Would have been a fabulous battle.
Hey, we're going to have Fedor on the show.
Fedor is, in fact, I didn't know if we were going to announce that or not, but yes.
I just let the cat out of the bag.
You let the cat out of the bag. Tomorrow night, everybody, we are going to have Fedor Emelianenko on this show. That's right. And we're going to talk to him. I don't think we probably should talk to him a lot about his loss in Sambo. I'm sure he'd
We will bring it up.
He'd speak about it. I don't think he's going to try and kill anybody because he was. I mean, I read his interview afterwards, and he was fine with it. Shit happens. But he did lose his second only Sambo match in his career via points.
No, that's not second in his career. Second in the last 8 years.
Well, okay.
When he was coming up in his career, he lost several times.
Sure. So, but the second major fight in the last whatever it's been.
Yeah.
Via points to the man that he'd actually, I guess he'd beaten him in February.
Yeah.
But lost to him, I guess, yesterday. And this man went on to win the entire tournament. But the man's not unbeatable, but I guess we'll see tomorrow what his plans are.
Yeah.
So that should be a fun time. And, of course, if you have questions for Fedor, you can post them on the board, but we only have about 15 minutes, so we'll do the best we can in that period of time. But let's talk about some of the questions here. I'll let you get started.
Okay. Do you see UFC adding 30 minutes or an hour to their pay-per-view broadcast anytime soon? To the contrary of what Vince McMahon thinks, they seem to be left short on time to show a fight. They really want to fight more often. They're not going to. And I can't give you a good explanation as to why, because, you know, the last Affliction show, they took 4 hours. But I think that the UFC mentality is that 3 hours is plenty. And actually, you know, it is. You know, sometimes it's kind of frustrating because there is a fight you want to see. But, you know, I mean, for
a show like WrestleMania, where it's like the big show of the year, you've got more friends over than any other show. It's like the big thing. 4 hours is fine, but when I think about watching 4 hours on pay-per-view regularly from all these different companies, it just is. I don't know if you know it. That's too much.
Yeah, but you know what? Every time I go to a UFC live show, and we're talking, they're five-hour shows.
Well, it's a little bit different, because on the live show, you've got breaks here and there to get up, and it's different live. I mean, Affliction was a blast live, and, you know, people are going to point out that one Pride show that went 4 hours. It was absolutely phenomenal, but, you know, it's just like...
That was actually a fantastic pay-per-view, that one Pride show.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, the thing that people... Like, it's different on this show because all the fights actually were great, and people had a chance to see all 9 fights. But, you know, not every pay-per-view is 4 hours of fantastic fighting. I mean, there are some shows where a 4-hour show showing all these prelims with a bunch of draws and non-exciting fights, I don't know about that idea.
Like the Chicago show.
Yeah, can you imagine 4 hours of that show?
Yeah.
There'd have been riots in the streets.
Okay, here's another one. Does UFC need full injury disclosure similar to NFL injury reports? NFL does this because people with inside information can't make a killing gambling with the info. How often do we hear about someone hiding an injury and affecting their fight performance? I realize it could give an undue advantage to an opponent, but I would presume it's rare for someone to go into the octagon completely healthy to begin with. That's a really good question.
I don't think anybody goes in completely healthy.
Well, no. No one goes in completely healthy. But the fact is that, you know, all the fighters... keep their injuries secretive, and you never hear about them. That's like, you know, everyone who loses brings up, you know, not everyone, but a lot of them will bring up their injuries after they lose. But, you know, going in, you know, like everyone hides them because they don't want their opponents to know. And if people do know, it absolutely, it gives them an advantage gambling, and that is why the NFL, like, you know, releases everything. And I mean, it's kind of frustrating because, yeah, I mean, they keep the injuries, and it's not even UFC, because a lot of the fighters, you know, keep them from UFC. I mean, Chuck Liddell and Dana White are tight, and Dana didn't know when Chuck tore his, I think it was his PCL, you know, before one of the fights. I think it was before the the big Tito fight, wasn't it? In 06?
Yeah.
He had torn it, like, you know, several weeks earlier, and he told Dana right after the match, you know, in the ring. So, you know, like, the fighters do everything to keep those things secretive. But, you know, if their camps know or something, yeah, you know. Or, you know, when guys are sick or whatever, yeah.
This person, Sarah, says, I keep hearing you and Dave talk about the WWE's new direction toward the kids audience. In a way, you act as if this is the worst it's ever been. Don't you think the early 90s were much more kid-friendly and corny? I mean, at least we don't have a race car driver versus a garbage man.
True. Yeah, I never said it was the. I've never said it was the worst. It's just, I'm not against family friendly programming. I'm just against bad wrestling and bad booking when it doesn't make sense, you know, or if it's not connecting.
Yeah.
I've seen periods that are in some ways worse, but even I don't know if it's a change of the times or something. But it felt to me that even in those bad periods, maybe because there were so many different promotions around, that wrestling fans were still watching wrestling and paying attention to wrestling, whereas now I see so many wrestling fans drifting away. You know, like, and that I think is what's different. I mean, and it's because there's no other alternative, whereas before, yeah, they had that, but there was also the alternative. You know, they may not have been good alternatives, but there were several alternatives out there. And now, you know, I mean, yeah, there are alternatives, but they're so far... you know, even TNA is, like, so low on the totem pole, so to speak, or so far away from it's not really a viable major league alternative, because, you know, you watch TNA and all you're bombarded with is that, you know, Vince McMahon runs wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
They keep telling... I mean, Kurt Angle at the house show last night, did you hear about that?
Oh, no. I didn't hear about it.
Like, I'd much rather be here, you know, wrestling in front of you 1,000 fans than working up north for that asshole. Yeah, I'd much rather be here with working for you 1,000 fans.
Wow.
Than, you know, bringing that up again.
The fun never ends.
I'm sure it gets a pop, and that's why he says it.
But sure, yeah.
So it's still like, I don't know.
It's Kurt Angle. Why doesn't he lie and say, I'd much rather work in front of you 50,000 smiling fans than that asshole up north?
That's pretty hard to pull off, you know, in an arena where there aren't that many fans.
Yeah, you got to lie. Come on, it's wrestling.
Well, I'm sure he lies, but, you know, you can only lie so much.
Wayne Newton would have said 50,000 fans. Yeah. All right, let's do one more each, and then we'll wrap it up. I'll let you go first.
Okay. Let's see. This is De La Hoya question.
Maybe we should just read some threads for the last half hour and had some fun.
Okay. this is actually a good one, because it's Kurt Angle.
Oh, good.
On a radio show this morning in Nashville, Kurt Angle was talking about the Main Event Mafia and what separates them from every other stable in history. You know what it is?
They beat people up.
No. Every member of the stable has headlined and on million-buy pay-per-views. Now, I'm looking at the roster for the stable, and I'm curious, have any of them ever drawn a million-buy pay-per-view? And the answer to that question is no.
Who said that?
None of them have ever drawn a million-buy pay-per-view. What?
Who said that?
Kurt Angle.
Where? Oh, on a radio show?
On a radio show in Nashville this morning.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I thought this was something on Impact that I totally missed.
No,
because then I would have been
no.
very upset, because boy, oh boy.
Maybe he'll say it on Impact next week now. That,
maybe he will. You know. That could very well be.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of them, actually.
No, no. There's only a few people in history who've ever drawn million-buy pay-per-views.
Yeah.
You know, and like Rock and Steve Austin and... Who else? Donald Trump's hair.
Sure, yeah.
And
maybe Brock Lesnar after this weekend.
He ain't gonna draw a million buys.
Well,
you know, I mean, maybe what you think with Nogueira? No, him and Nogueira won't.
No, I'm talking about the show we just saw. You never know.
I suppose it's possible, but just based on everything that I'm feeling, I mean, I don't see it even. I mean, I see it doing very, very well, but it doesn't seem like it's like off the charts. Like
I predict 770.
You know, that's a decent prediction. You know, I mean, you know, I think 750. You know,
yeah.
Maybe I don't know 800. You know, the economy's going to hurt. I mean, if you really think about the hype job and everything like that, the hype job wasn't good enough for more than 800.
No.
It really wasn't. I mean, as much as it could have been better, they. I'm not saying they. You know, Dana worked really, really hard the last couple of days. He was everywhere. But I just think that because they had that show on October 25th, I think they just got the ball rolling too late to create enough. I mean, you know, I'll give you an example. It's like today, just from watching TV, I saw so many ads. And by the way, have you seen the ads for De La Hoya and Pacquiao?
Not yet, no.
What?
No.
They're really good ads. It's a good ad, the pay-per-view ad. So anyway, but I've seen them like all day today, and I was thinking like, wow, my first thought is that's coming up this Saturday. It's not, it couldn't be this soon. And of course it's not. It's 3 weeks from now. They're already hammering it. And whereas Lesnar and Couture, you know, outside of UFC programming, I mean, I didn't see many ads until the last week, and you know, then the last week I did see a lot.
Sure. Yeah. You know, let me mention this very quickly. This may have nothing to do with anything, but I have some friends that we watch pay-per-views with, and you know, sometimes like on a Monday, I'll call a friend and I'll say, you know, what are you doing Saturday night? Can you do anything? And they'll mention that, no, I actually have plans already for this Saturday. And you know, when sometimes people make plans like a week in advance, and when you start hammering home a pay-per-view in like the last 4 days, sometimes that's not enough time for people to prepare.
That's a lot of times. That's because a lot of times I think that happens. That's why I think that you do need 2.5 weeks.
You need to give people notice that there's a big show coming up.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, one thing that I just also want to bring up is at the afternoon press conference. I mean, Dana White, you know, made it real clear they're not going to do more than one pay per view a month. So, I mean, the one thing is I don't see them adding pay-per-views next year. They may add more TV shows. But, you know, I mean, I think that he really, which is good that I think that they've kind of realized that you know, they're you know, this 3 weeks between pay-per-views, it's just a killer.
It's too much. It's just, but I mean, this is not news. We've known this for a while, and thank God he recognizes that.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for today, everybody. And as noted, we are going to be back tomorrow night. Tomorrow's actually a big day of shows. We're going to have J.J. Dillon on in the afternoon, and then Dave and I will be on a little bit later in the evening, and we will have Fedor Emelianenko on the show talking about his future and whatever it is he wants to discuss, because I think he's got stuff to discuss.
So, he wants to talk Brock Lesnar.
Oh, boy.
Seriously, that's what we're going to talk about.
Well, that'll be awesome then. So
that's
going to be tomorrow night, and make sure you check that out. We'll hopefully have it up by about 7 o'clock p.m., 8 o'clock p.m., somewhere around there, Pacific. So that's the plan for that. And thanks for listening, and we shall talk to you again tomorrow night.